Good morning. Better now? Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. It is a pleasure to see all of you here, and I'm grateful that you've chosen to make this a part of your day today. As always, coffee hour follows our service in the fellowship hall. You can exit through this door and follow the signs to the elevator or stairs, or follow some friendly soul who's in front of you who's going the same way. If you are a guest with us this morning, we extend you a special welcome and would ask that you take a moment in the fellowship hall to stop by our welcome table, where you'll find a guest book and information about this congregation as well as Unitarian Universalism. Child care is available during the service should that be of help to you, and any of the ushers can help you make your way there if that's needed. And now I invite you to take a moment and greet your neighbors. Of our partner church committee will light the chalice this morning. The opening words, call to worship, are from The Long Road Turns to Joy by Thich Nhat Hanh. Happiness is not an individual matter. All our ancestors and all future generations are present in us. Liberation is not an individual matter. As long as the ancestors in us are still suffering, we cannot be happy, and we will transmit suffering to our children and their children. Now is the time to liberate our ancestors and future generations. It means to free ourselves. If we can take one step freely and happily touching the earth mindfully, we can take 100. We do it for ourselves and for all previous generations and future generations. We all arrive at the same time and find peace and happiness together. Thank you. Our hymn is For All the Saints, number 103 in our gray hymnal. Please rise in body, in spirit, for the hymn and covenant and affirmation to follow. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to speak the truth in love, and to help one another. If you have brought a memento with you today, that special something that reminds you of the person or persons you wish to honor, please get it in hand now. In just a moment, I will invite you to come forward and place those items on our altar. The long summer has faded. The first days of November will mark the beginning of the coming of winter. The nights are sometimes frosty. Leaves are falling and blowing and showering the land with color. Days are cooler, and the weather is unsettled. The evenings make way for an earlier dark. Halloween is a time when our children play with fear and concepts that may be scary to them. Christians mark the turning of their year with All Saints and All Souls Days, commemorating the dead. The Celtic festival of Samhain, summer's end, is a time when the veil between the worlds and the other world grows thin. Ancestors are invited home and honored. And in Mexico, the festival of El Día de los Muertos begins. Families decorate their homes with altars bearing special foods and flowers and make visits to the graves of family members. Though we may be far from the grave sites of our ancestors, we can honor those who have gone before. I invite those who have brought a memento to place on the altar to please come forward and do so at this time. I invite you to call out the names of those you wish to remember today, and as the names are said, Neil and Anne will be lighting candles for each one. Please say the names. At this darkening time of the year, our thoughts turn to things past, to life retreating, to those who are no longer with us. Images come to mind of dear companions who once graced our lives, loved ones whom we miss, persons whose lives made an impact on our own, images of all of those who were here, contributing, caring, and are now gone. Our memories bring sadness and joy. Our recollections attest to the enduring importance of these friends, this love, our memories. May these brave and lovely spirits live again in our tender thoughts, and prove that death and distance are powerless to sever the bonds that connect truly loving hearts. This ancient holiday is, as it always was, a time of remembrance and love.
Remember me.
dukkha. All is impermanence. Nothing lasts. I thought of that watching leaves come down in a shower and the smell of the rotting ones going back into the earth. Leaf to humus and back to earth to nourish the roots of the mother tree. The crows crying as the leaves fall and their nests are exposed. Dukkha, all is impermanence. And life goes on, and people who were with us last year at this time have died. All souls pass on, all is dukkha, nothing lasts. The path to enlightenment is understanding, accepting impermanence to the point where we no longer struggle against it. That is the way of the Buddha. But here in the West, we search for that which is permanent, even as we live with the death of all things, all people. We search for a sure footing on the path strewn with fallen leaves. We notice the buds of next year's growth tight curled and waiting. We hold on to the things we can count on, our church, our community, our memories of those who died before us, our love and hope, and the search for certainty in a world that is dukkha. Let us find each other in a changing world. Let us experience love as something which exists, a possibility which exists. Let us know that we are alive and being renewed miraculously, each second, that impermanence gives to life its freshness and surprise, that our memories of yesterday and our expectations of tomorrow make now a cherished, precious, eternal moment. From all the fret and fever of the day is our hymn, number 90 in the gray hymnal. Rise in body, in spirit. It is not unusual for ministers to be asked to to officiate at memorial services for someone they've never met. Some long ago connection or some feeling of kinship to the larger family of faith, if not the particular congregation, prompts a call from the family in their time of loss. And so it was that I was asked to officiate at a graveside service to be held in the Assonet Burying Ground in Freetown. Phone and email conversations brought the family and me together to plan the service, but it was not until we gathered at the burying ground that we met face to face. Upon my arrival, I was greeted by the wife of the man who had died, and as we walked through the burying ground toward the site for the interment of his ashes, she began to introduce me to family members who were buried in that ground. She pointed first here and then there, within the confines of this very small plot of land. She would gesture toward the ground or a nearby headstone, and she would identify each person by their relationship to her. She pointed out the place where grandparents had been buried. She pointed out a cousin or two, and there were others whose connections to her I cannot now remember. As the living family and friends gathered, the wind seemed to pick up. It blew a little harder. Leaves let loose from branches in the trees above, floated to the ground, swirled around our feet. They blew around the headstones, and here and there, they gathered in small piles, covering up the dates of birth and death, covering the base of the stone where it met the ground. High above, one lone red cardinal observed the goings-on below, remaining in the topmost branch of that tree throughout our gathering there. The container of ashes was placed in front of the family headstone. And then just as we were about to begin the service, the funeral director and his associate arrived. They looked, well, consternation on their faces, I guess I would say. They looked a little unsettled, and they called the wife of the man who had died aside, and a brief conversation ensued about whether anyone knew exactly where all the ancestors were buried. The answer to that question was important, because that would mean that someone knew where the digging for the interment of the small container of ashes should be done. The family paused and gathered, considering how to proceed. It seemed that no one was 100% sure they knew. And as I waited, I confess, I half expected some sort of signal from one of the ancestors long buried. I watched for a sign to dig here and not there. I thought perhaps a finger would emerge through the dirt and the grass into the daylight, or maybe if the wind died down enough, there would be some sort of shrill whistle echoing up from somewhere below that would draw attention to either the right or the wrong place. But no signal came. I confess to you that I was smiling at these images in my mind's eye, fleeting though they were. In that moment, they seemed somehow perfectly reasonable. And those images, as they faded, gave way to the realization that on the faces of the family and friends gathered in this tiny burying ground, on their faces was such joy at the lives reflected there and the life of the man they came to honor, joy in the midst of their grief. I smiled again. The funeral director and the family seemed to have agreed on a safe location to begin to dig. And as I watched the family regather And as I looked once again at the gravestones of family members known to those standing before me, it was just so clear that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And here in this moment, the task at hand was to help another loved one join their ranks. So we did those things important to that moment. There were flowers and stories, and there was laughter, and there were tears. And then at the end, there was this poem by Mae Sarton. If I can let you go, as trees let go their leaves so casually one by one, if I can come to know what they do know, that fall is the release, the consummation, then fear of time and the uncertain fruit would not distemper the great lucid skies this strangest autumn, mellow and acute. If I can take the dark with open eyes and call it seasonal, not harsh or strange, for love itself may need a time of sleep, and tree-like, stand unmoved before the change, lose what I lose to keep what I can keep, the strong root still alive under the snow. Love will endure. If I can let you go. At the time of All Souls, of Halloween, at the time of Samhain, as the festival of El Dia de los Muertos begins, we honor and remember the great cloud of witnesses who, by word and deed, by life and love, and still now after death, touch our lives and live on in us. I invite you now to say once again the names of those you honor and remember today. Please. And I invite you to say the gifts their lives give to ours, that precious thing that you treasure from them. Spirit of life, embrace us as we embrace memories of those we love, and help us to take what we learn from those gone before into our own lives. Remind us that we too are mortal, that the enduring legacy we leave is the love and justice drawn out of our lives. Even as there is sadness, may there be abundant joy for the lives and the gifts of that great cloud of witnesses, with us still, present in and part of our lives. We remember them and we honor them. So may it be. Our closing hymn is When the Saints Go Marching In. There are words on the back of your order of service. Please rise in body and spirit, and we'll keep singing until the children arrive. Sonia.